Well, that was awesome, I think. That is one of my favorite songs. And I don't know, I asked Gavin one time before one of these services, I was preparing for it, what his favorite Christmas song was. And at the time, he said, this was it. So I said, well, we need to include that today because I'm going to be referencing that song and stuff. And then it turns out I'm not really. So, but it's a great song, isn't it? Isn't it just the greatest thing? Think about what that said. Endless hope, relentless, relentless joy, like never letting up. Think about what happened on the day that we commemorate tomorrow morning. It's the most amazing thing. So it's Christmas Eve, and it's the last night of the season of Advent that we've all been celebrating every Sunday for the last month. Advent's a season of waiting, expecting, hoping. We read Bible verses, or we read Bible verses, and we lit candles, those candles that signify the hope, dominion, strength, and glory of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who came to our world as a human baby to live a sinless life and give his life on our behalf as payment for our sins. And so tonight, the waiting is over. He's come. Tonight, we've sung songs. We lit the Christ candle. We heard readings from the gospel that tell the story of the life of Jesus. And we tried to pick songs that kind of went with the readings and helped tell the story. One of the verses that we read during the lighting of the Christ candle was Matthew 4:16. Matthew was quoting from the prophet Isaiah, what he wrote 700 years or so before Jesus was born. So now I want to read a little larger piece of that. This is Isaiah chapter 9, verses 1 through 3. But there will be no gloom for her who was in anguish. In the former time, he brought into contempt the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. But in the latter time, he has made glorious the way of the sea, the land beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the nations. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwell in the land of deep darkness, on them light has shone. You have multiplied the nation. You have increased its joy. They rejoice before you as with joy at the harvest, as they are glad when they divide the spoil. At the time he wrote that, Isaiah was just kind of the latest in a long line of prophets who'd been warning the people, being sent by God to warn the people of Israel and Judah to give up their idolatry and their wicked ways before God brought judgment against them. God was just about to hand the nation of Israel over to the Assyrians, who would pretty much just erase them from history for the next 28 centuries or so. He'd already punished them in a lot of lesser ways in an attempt to get them to turn back to him. That's what it means when he talks about bringing into contempt the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali in the former time. Those northern provinces had already been the victim of attacks by the Assyrians, and they were definitely feeling like they were people walking in darkness and like they lived in a land where death cast its shadow. But as always, God's message of judgment through his prophets also included good news. Let's look at what it says in the second half of our first verse. But in the latter time, he has made glorious the way of the sea, the land beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the nations. First, I want us to notice that it says he, that's God, has made glorious. It's phrased that way because Isaiah is seeing it in a vision of the future that makes it look like it had already happened. He's telling the people that things are awful and dark now, But God promises that they're going to get a lot better. I don't know how many of you know this for sure, but I can tell you, when God promises something, it's a done deal. And that's why it's said by a person who's 700 years before that this has happened. He has made them glorious. Another thing we need to notice is that he's talking about Galilee. Now, of course, that's in the area where the tribes of Zebulun and Naphtali lived. But what else is it? It's the place where Jesus grew up. He was raised and he lived most of his life there, really. And so just as it was the first area to fall under that darkness and be under the shadow of death, it's going to be the first area to receive their Redeemer. Imagine that. That Redeemer is who verse 2 is talking about. When it says that the people who walked in darkness have seen a great light, it's talking about God's promised Redeemer who will come to save people from their sin and the judgment that sin deserves. And we all know that's true. It's talking about the one who will show the greatest light in the universe on them. A light that's going to chase away the deep darkness of slavery to the Assyrians, slavery to their fears, slavery to all the fears that they have in the face of the terrible dark place their world has become, and slavery to their own sins. I wonder, does any of that stuff seem the slightest bit familiar to any of us tonight? You bet it does, doesn't it? It sure does. Every day it seems that we hear of or read of some other terrible thing that people are doing to each other in this world. There's a new war or a new trouble spot flaring up, another war crime or atrocity, another sort of more run-of-the-mill but still awful crime that we hear about on the radio or read in the newspaper. Maybe it's just the average ugliness that we see that people can do to each other in our own or our loved ones' lives and relationships that just gets piled on top of all the rest of that. But just like in Isaiah's prophecy, there's good news for us too. And the good news for us is the same as the good news was for them. It's why we're here tonight, celebrating the birth of that Redeemer who was promised 700 years or so after Isaiah wrote his prophecy. Jesus was born to be the Savior of the world. Let's read what Isaiah had to say about that baby boy they just sang about. This is a little further on in chapter 9 of Isaiah, verses 6 and 7. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of peace there will be no end on the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time forth forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of the hosts will do this. Now, Isaiah speaks about that baby as if his birth had already happened, because he's relating a vision God gave him of the future. In God's eyes, it had already happened, because he planned for it to happen and he said it would. Now here we are over 20 centuries later, and not only has it already happened, it's actually kind of ancient history. But that doesn't make his birth any less miraculous or any less wonderful. And that doesn't make the light that shines from him any less bright, even when it seems the world gets darker practically every day. All those things that it just said in that in those verses are characteristics of who the Christ child would grow to be. They're also promises from God. The peace he can bring in our hearts and will eventually bring over the whole world is a promise from God. So is the fact that the kingdom he establishes will be one of justice and righteousness. It began in the hearts and lives of his followers with his birth, and it will continue forever, doing away with the darkness everywhere the light reaches, and in God's timing, chasing away the darkness completely in the whole world. I know sometimes it feels like the darkness is kind of all-encompassing and that nothing could ever drive it out of your heart. It sure seems like the darkness is so strong and so dark that it will always be a part of this world. The birth of the child that we celebrate tonight liberates those who believe from fear and darkness forever, though. So if you don't know Jesus now, right now would be a good time to come to him. I'd love to be able to introduce you to him, and there's a lot of other people here that I know would too. And he said, no matter what you think about yourself, he said, whoever comes to me, I will never cast out, like never. Come to him, eternal life. John 3:16 says, whoever believes in him shall have eternal life. Starting right then. And it'll never go away. He'll never cast you out. And so, you know, like I said, ask me, ask any one of a number of people if you have questions, because we'll be more than glad to help you out with that. So, with that said, I'd like to read again from Luke about the birth of Jesus. And this is verses 10 and 11. An angel speaking to some shepherds, but he's given the message of God to all people, us today too. And the angel said to them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. It's almost the same words that were in Isaiah's vision, isn't it? And it's certainly the same message. Fear not, because right here is the light that's going to overcome all darkness. I also want to read what John said about Jesus. This is John 1, 4 and 5. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Those are wonderful words, aren't they? And not only hasn't the darkness overcome the light, it's God's promise that it never will. It never will. So tonight, we celebrate the coming of that light into the world with the lighting of candles and the singing of songs, praising God, and hopefully giving him as much glory as we possibly can. And tonight, I pray that all of us let that light drive the fear and darkness from our lives. I also pray that you'll all take that light into the world to share it, especially with those who can't see any light right now. Spread the greatest light the universe has ever seen and help drive the darkness from the world forevermore. Let's pray. Father, I thank you that you've given me this chance to speak words you've given me to these folks here tonight. I pray that the words that you gave me were delivered with your power, and I pray that they were received in the hearts that were prepared to be changed by your word, by Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for the most precious Christmas gift, the whole reason for Christmas that anyone was ever given. And you gave it to all of us. We give you praise. We love you, Lord. It's in Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen. I want to thank y'all for coming and celebrating with us. As we go from here, I pray that you, you all have safe trips home. And I pray that we go from here in hope and joy and peace and all the things that we just sang about. Man, I can't even tell you how great this is, the ability to do this is. And anyway, thank you, God. Thank you all. We can blow the candles out now. And there's a dish pan by the door where you picked them up in the first place. If you would, please put them in there on your way out. Go with God.
Merry Christmas, everybody.
Chorus again?
Sure.
Plug us in.
Glory to God in the high.